Hi, and welcome to Business Talk, brought to you by Business West and Living Local, and brought to you by Bank ESB.
Hi, I'm Chris Kellogg from the Kellogg Crew Morning Show on 94.7 WMAS, and here is your host for this episode of Business Talk. He's the editor and associate publisher of Business West. Here's George O'Brien.
Okay, welcome everybody to another episode of Business Talk. We have a tremendous show for you today. I'm really looking forward to it. I can't wait to get started, but I will just 1 minute because we have an important message we need to hear from this month's sponsor, Bank ESB.
Bank ESB is here for local business. As a local bank, we provide everything you need to thrive around here, including personalized guidance and business products like free checking and cash management services. Unlock your potential and learn more at bankesb.com/business. Member FDIC DIF.
Okay, we are back for Business Talk. As I promised, we have a great show for you today. We have with us Jessica Collins. She's the Executive Director of the Public Health Institute of Western Mass. Good morning, Jessica. How are you?
Good morning. Fine, thank you. Thank you for having me.
Okay, it's our pleasure. Jessica is not just the Executive Director of the Public Health Institute of Western Mass, as important as that is. She is also one of Business West Women of Impact for 2021. Congratulations to you.
Thank you very much.
Okay, we're using the podcast to introduce some of our winners and our honorees. By the way, the event is coming up December 9th at the Sheraton in Springfield. If you would like to come and help us celebrate these women of impact, tickets are available on our website, businesswest.com, or by calling 413-781-8600. We'll be happy to help you. Okay, the plug for the event is over. So back to Jessica. This has been a big fall for you. Two Business West Awards.
Yes.
Kind of, sort of. You were on the stage at the Log Cabin back in October for our Healthcare Heroes event. You were part of the collaborative effort for something called DASH, the Doorway to an Accessible, Safe, and Healthy Home. We'll talk about that in a minute. That was our collaborative health award. And that was a crowded stage. There were a lot of people up there for that.
But, yeah, that was a true team effort. And Colleen always makes sure to include everyone. So that was a really wonderful, wonderful event.
And now you're back just a few weeks later for our Women of Impact Award. Congratulations again. You're being recognized, obviously, for your work with the Public Health Institute and specifically for the way in which you bring groups and organizations together to tackle some of the more challenging public health issues facing our communities. And there are a lot of those. So we're going to get to that in a minute. But tell us how you got into this line of work. You were a history major at Wellesley, studying the 60s and the Kennedy era. And you, I don't want to call it a segue, but you kind of shifted into public health. How did that happen?
I grew up in a family that always health first and healthy activity first. And so it just kind of absorbed that and appreciated that as a way to help people be at their best. And so when I was younger, I really thought, geez, if everyone could lead a balanced life, we might actually be able to achieve world peace. So that was pretty lofty, but I felt like making sure that everyone had access to make healthy decisions is critical. And so that launched me into a career of public health.
Where has that career taken you?
Well,
trace the steps for us.
Yeah. So, I mean, I was able to serve as a Jesuit volunteer in Seattle, Washington in 1994. I was a care coordinator at the Chicken Soup Brigade, which was a nonprofit organization in Seattle servicing people with full-blown AIDS. And that was a very inspiring and eye-opening experience. And then I went and joined the Peace Corps, and I was a Peace Corps volunteer in West Africa, where I worked with a midwife and a nurse at a very small village clinic and learned about maternal and child health. And that was an incredible experience. And then I came back to the United States and decided I wanted to focus on a more domestic kind of wellness, if you will, and went to Tufts University and got my master's degree in U.S. food policy and spent a decade working on childhood obesity prevention, which continues to be in a crisis, if you will, today. So lots still to do in that regard, but really have enjoyed talking and learning about collaborations to achieve community health. And we continue to learn and grow at the Public Health Institute, you know, to do that.
And you came to the Public Health Institute, was that 15 years ago now, is that right?
Yeah, almost, when it was Partners for a Healthier Community. Yeah.
Right. So talk a little bit about this organization, and then I want you to go quickly into not just what it does, but how it does what it does. Again, these are difficult issues that you're dealing with. We're talking, you mentioned childhood obesity, that's one of them. Asthma, that's just another problem that you've tackled, and we're going to get into some of the others. But these aren't issues that one person or one organization or, you know, even one city can attack. So tell us about how the Public Institute, first of all, what it does, and then how it goes about it.
Thank you. And I appreciate the opportunity to do that. So the Public Health Institute of Western Mass, we do research assessments. So we do community assessments to understand what are the great things and what are the things that need more attention in different communities in Western Massachusetts. We build coalitions. So we bring teams together to focus on the issues that need a little more attention. And then we do policy advocacy. So we try to always have a sustainable long-term solution that will help support the public health issue we're focused on. And we have taken on many different public health issues over the 25-year lifespan of the organization. And basically, we pick the public health issue based on what people in the community, in the region are saying, look, this is a crisis or this is a situation that doesn't have enough resources. We need to come together and focus on it. So it's basically our priorities come from the community and are worked on with the community.
Mm-hmm. So can we get some examples of some of the things that you've worked on over the years? Some of the pressing issues, those complicated health challenges that I talked about?
Yeah, I would love to. So going back to when Dr. Frank Robinson was the executive director, we took on the issue of preschool oral health. And that basically the Western Mass region is a service shortage area for many kind of healthcare issues, if you will. And so we work together with preschool organizations to figure out how do we get the little ones more dental support. Mm-hmm. We then took on childhood obesity prevention, and we were able, so that one was specifically in Springfield, and we were able to create local environmental changes like a community gardening ordinance, complete streets policy, which supports bike and pedestrian activity. Right now, we're working on asthma and have been for a very long time. We've already called out sort of a healthy homes activity and air sensor, air quality monitoring activity. We worked closely with Holyoke and Springfield Public Schools to make sure their indoor air quality wasn't exacerbating children's asthma. And another example of what we're kicking off to date is youth mental health. And so we're in a discovery phase about what are the right strategies to support youth and families and how would we implement them together with the community.
So talk a little bit more about DASH. This is like a textbook example of how you work. You've got different organizations that come at this from different angles and can bring different things to the table. And, you know, collectively, because they couldn't do it individually, they're able to achieve real progress here. Talk about the program and talked about how it's helped Springfield and Holyoke. And over years, Springfield was at or very near the top of those lists you don't want to be on for, you know, most dangerous cities for asthma. I forget exactly how the wording goes. But yeah, talk about DASH a little bit.
So DASH is kind of a beautiful example of an evolving public health strategy. So like I said, earlier on in the Pioneer Valley Asthma Coalition, we work directly with schools to support young people with asthma. And so at the beginning of years, we were looking at indoor air quality of schools where children spend a lot of their time. We then went on to bridge health centers, primary care, with those families with young people that had asthma. And the more that we learned and talked to those families and listened to when families were showing up in the emergency room, we realized, wow, a lot of the exacerbation of asthma was happening when they were at home. And what was, so it led us to ask the question, well, what is it about the home environment that might be exacerbating someone's asthma? And that has led us to the current stage where we are now, where we were able to partner with groups like Revitalize CDC and health centers in Springfield and figure out how do we assess someone's home, understand when their asthma is being triggered, and then basically remediate the home environment to remove what is bothering basically the person with asthma. So each step we learn about more and more, what is affecting people with asthma? How do we mitigate that? Whether it's in the school environment or outdoor air quality or in their home. And then how do you bring different people to the table like primary care physicians and home assessors, et cetera, to have a comprehensive solution. So that's basically the story of DASH. And now Revitalize CDC has it in their program to just do home remediation, et cetera. And we continue to refer people to Colleen, and she is working on that.
Are you seeing progress? Are the numbers revealing that we're creating positive change here?
Well, we definitely, so it was a little tricky during COVID, to be honest, because people in general stopped going to the emergency room. So unfortunately, for one of our projects, we were tracking those 2 years very specifically to see if it did relieve some of the urgency and emergency situation for families. And of course, we did see an incredible drop because many of us weren't going to the emergency room at that time. But absolutely, the narrative stories that we hear from families about this changing their lives, about their children sleeping through the night, about not having to do the puffer for the asthma, not as much for their children. I mean, all of this really, it creates better quality of life for families.
Okay, you're listening to Business Talk, a podcast presented by Business West in partnership with Living Local. We're talking with Jessica Collins. She's the Executive Director of the Public Health Institute of Western Mass and, equally importantly, one of Business West's Women of Impact for 2021. We've been talking about what the Public Health Institute does and what it has been doing. And I guess the next question is what's next? You mentioned mental health, specifically involving the younger population. What can we expect and what are the steps in this process now? Again, we're evaluating this problem and figuring out how to attack it, I assume.
Yeah. And so one of the things that's been very exciting about transforming into a public health institute is that we have been able to sophisticate our ability to look at data, quantitative and qualitative data in our region. And so we have been putting out reports in various areas, region, to highlight where we do see inequities. So basically, if there is a health indicator where one group of people is suffering from it more than another. And we, many years ago, put out a youth health report, which we had done in partnership with Springfield Public Schools and the Springfield Department of Health and Human Services, where we called out youth mental health indicators such as being sad for a prolonged period of time or feeling hopeless or anxious. And we called that out a few years ago in a report and just have been very steadfast in trying to pull people together, get resources in order to have a more comprehensive approach of supporting these young people. And so we learned, and this project is specifically in Springfield, but we did hear from the community that things like having a community campaign that normalizes talking about how you feel, that makes it okay for people to say, you know what, I'm feeling really sad and I just can't get out of this funk, or I've just been so anxious, I can't focus on what, you know, I'm supposed to be doing. And instead of sort of maybe in many generations before and now, instead of kind of saying, well, you know, that's your problem and we all suffer from having the blues sometimes, we're really trying to say that we need to talk about this, but more importantly, George, Western Mass needs more resources with regard to supporting our region for mental health and behavioral health. And that is something that we want to take head on through this coalition work that the fact that our young people sometimes have to be transported to Eastern Massachusetts away from their families to get appropriate care and support is, it's just not acceptable. So just like I shared with you earlier on when I said when we took on the Oral Health Project, because there was a shortage of services for pediatric dental care, we're finding a very similar situation in Western Mass for young people and mental health care. And I know that there is a ramping up of that, but we need to address that issue for sure.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned COVID earlier, and this is a broad question. We could probably go on for hours, and we only have a couple of minutes left. But do we have any kind of understanding yet how COVID has exacerbated many of the already existing public health problems in this region and in this state? I imagine this is something that's going to be studied for years, if not decades to come. But are we already seeing signs, trends, indicators of what's to come and what's already happening?
Yes, like you said, COVID-19 absolutely exacerbated, particularly for communities of color who already had, you know, lack of access to healthy quality food, lack of access to quality transportation, you know, lack of access to high paying livable wage, long-term career employment. All of those things were exacerbated by the COVID-19 pandemic. And I do want to call out that the enormous loss of life for particularly in families of color will set back families for generations. And that, I think, has not been highlighted enough. But to your point, we are going to research, not we, but we as a society will research the outfall of COVID-19. And I think we will find that that is going to rise up as something that very much needs to be paid attention to. The families that have lost someone and have now been set back economically.
So it is starting to pull the data together on this, or is this something we don't have data on yet?
We have more qualitative data.
That's what I was saying, yeah.
You know, but absolutely the quantitative data will come, and I'm sure there'll be mapping of loss of life, and that for sure will have to provide lessons learned and better mitigation for the next time we experience something like this.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you very much for coming on the show today. That was very enlightening. Congratulations to you again on being one of our Women of Impact for 2021. Looking forward to December 9th when you can take to the stage again and pick up another Business West Award. So,
thank you very much.
Thank you for coming on. Okay. Thank you to all of you. This has been another episode of Business Talk, a podcast presented by Business West in partnership with Living Local, sponsored this month by Bank ESB. I'm George O'Brien, the editor of Business West Magazine. Happy to have you with us. Looking forward to seeing you next time.